morning. We're on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov Mavor on page Kuf Hei, paragraph Samach Hei, which we read already once before. I want to read part of it again. Michtei, kol mili de Ezra Nehemiah ben Chachalya amrino. All the words of Ezra were said by Nehemiah. We explained last time that either means most of the words of Ezra, that Rashi says, most of Sefer Ezra was actually said by Nehemiah. Others say it means that most of the work of Ezra was completed by Nehemiah. Or Nehemiah ben Chachalya, my time lo ikre sifra al shmei. Why is the book of Nehemiah not called after Nehemiah? It's called Ezra. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba mipnei shechzik tova al atzma. So Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says because he attributed credit to himself. Shneamar zachra li elokai letova. As it says, remember me, my Elohim for good. So we're asked, David Nami Meimar Amar, Zacheni Hashem Ritzon Amecha, Pakdinu Shvatecha. David HaMelech also said, remember me Hashem. Seems that he's taking credit. So the Gemara says, right, we talked about that last time. In short, what we said is, however, it is obvious from Sefer Tehillim, if you read it, it's obvious that it was written by David. The individual paragraphs, many of them, right, Mizmor Le David, and so on. We did talk about that last time. And drew other conclusions from that fact. So you could catch it, the video at 11. David, Rachmehu de Kabai. So our answer is David is asking for mercy. We said last time that according to some Farshim, the distinction is that Nehemiah said, use the name Elohim, which is Midas Hadin. So Nehemiah seems to be saying, I deserve to be remembered. And David used the name Hashem, which is Rachmim. So he's asking for mercy. And that is have some Farshim, Yad Yosef and Iyun Yaakov learn the distinction between Nehemiah and David. There's a somewhat parallel Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Amud Beis. Gemara there is referring to an incident that we're going to be talking a lot about in the next couple weeks. That is not just an incident, but the reign of King Chizkiah. And King Chizkiah in Yeshaya Lamed Chet, he davens, Zechorna et asher italachti lefanecha. Remember, Hashem, how I walked in front of you. So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Bet, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosef Yossi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kol ha-toleh b'zchut atzmo tolin lo b'zchut acharim. If a person hangs things on his own merit, in other words, if a person davens in his own merit, he will be answered in the merit of others. He'll be told, I'm not answering you in your merit, I'm answering you in the merit of someone else. B'chol ha-toleh b'zchut acharim. If somebody davens in the merit of others, then he'll be told you're being answered in your own merit. Where do we see this? Moshe talav yizchut achirim. Shemar zechor l'Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael avadecha. Moshe davened in the merit of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Talulo yizchut atzmo. Shemar vayomer lashmidam lulei Moshe bechiro amad b'peretz lefanav lashiv chamatol meshchi. So at the egel, Moshe davened in the zchus of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. But we read in Tehillim that Hashem wanted, regarding the Egel, that Hashem was going to destroy Bnei Israel, if not that Moshe had stood in the breach and turned back Hashem's anger. So Moshe davened the Schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but we attribute the Schus, the salvation, the merit to Moshe. On the other hand, Chizkiah, the king Chizkiah davened in his own merit. Remember how I went before you. He was answered in the merit of others. As it says in Malchim Beis, that Chizkiah was told, I will protect this city and rescue it in my merit and for me and for my servant David. V'hinei, v'hainu rather, to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and this is what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, ma'i dichtiv, hinei l'shalom mar li mar. Chizkiah says that the peace was bitter for me. Why was it bitter? Afilu b'shash shigir l'kadosh baruch hu shalom mar hu lo. Even when Hashem sent shalom to Chizkiah, it was bitter because Hashem told him, yes, I'm going to save the city, but you davened wrong, and I'm not going to save it in your merit like you asked. That is the Gemara in Brachos. Similar idea of person shouldn't daven in his own merit, just like Nehemiah is criticized for saying, remember how I went before you. Similarly, Chizkiah. Yes.
So if you yourself don't have a lot of merit, according to this logic, you should have in your own merit, because then you're going to be answered in others.
No, you're going to do something wrong. You're going to do something the Gemara says not to do, to try to trick Hashem. We'll give you a better suggestion. Okay. No, you should not try to trick Hashem by doing something that you know is wrong. be patient. Rav Kook explains, Gemara in Brachos says, some people are born with good characters, the tendency to be good people. They don't have to work very hard. Okay. Such a person, his instinct would be to attribute that to, I have good genes, I have good spiritual genes, I was born good. On the other hand, there are people who were born with bad midos, bad tempers, bad whatever, and they work very hard, and they would naturally attribute this to their own hard work, not to their ancestors. And they were born into a mafia family and became Balei Tshuva, and they would naturally take the credit themselves. But he says that this would be a mistake. There's a person who is born with bad midos, but he's still a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and other fine people. Could be that his father and his grandfather were thugs, but he still has good blood in him, good genes in him. And and that's what gave him the ability to overcome the bad traits that he has. He quotes a Kuzari who says that sometimes there are good traits in Jewish people, and sometimes in some generations they're hidden and in some generations they're visible. And that's not necessarily due to the credit of a specific person. So this person who worked very hard on himself, he should attribute it to the merit of others, to his ancestors from whom he inherited his distant ancestors from whom he inherited the ability to overcome his close by ancestors. It says, on the other hand, someone who is born with very precious characteristics, he calls them, is likely to build on that and be even better, at least hopefully he will be an even better person. So Chizkiah, the king Chizkiah, we know was the son of a rasha. Chizkiah thought, I'm a self-made man. And he said, Zachor na et asher et lachti fanecha, remember Hashem, how I went before you. He took credit for himself. Therefore, Hashem responded to him, I'm going to save the city in the merit of David, his distant ancestor. Okay. In other words, yes, it's true, you were the son of a rasha. The Gemara here describes how Chizkiah dragged his father's body through the street as an atonement for his father. His father was a terribly wicked idolater. And Chizkiah tried to bring an atonement for his father by dragging his body through the street before he buried him. But they were descendants of David HaMelech. So don't think you're a self-made man just because you're the son of an incredible Rasha. Doesn't mean you didn't have schus avos, that you didn't have help in your genes to become what you were. It says that we see that Chizkiah was worried about his genes because Chizkiah refused to get married. He says he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that his son would be a Rasha, and his son was a Rasha. His son, we'll learn later, is one of the people who has no chelik in Olam Haba, no portion in the world to come, son Menashe. Chizkiah thought, well, since I'm the son of a Rasha, and you know, it's in my genes, and I'm afraid it'll be passed on to my son. And Hashem told him, no, you're also son of the descendant of David. So don't think that you're a self-made man. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, was born, says, when he was born, the house was filled with light. Rashi brings from Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu was born with very, very fine characteristics. And he easily could have thought, well, everything I am comes from my ancestors. But we know he surely worked on himself as well. So such a person would attribute it to his ancestors, but Hashem will answer him in his own merit because he works on himself. He refers here, in passing, to a famous controversy, Rav Kook does. He says that those who said the opposite about Moshe Rabbeinu have already been pushed off from the words of Chazal and from the pshat of the pasuk Vatero Toki Tovu. The pasuk says that Yocheved saw that when Moshe was born that he was good. The controversy he's referring to is in the Tiferes Yisrael commentary in the Mishnah, the end of Masachik Kiddushin. He quotes a medrash. He says, they saw in a sefer, I think it's quote the sefer, if I remember correctly, it's called Or Pnei Moshe, that quotes a medrash. That doesn't exist. This medrash doesn't exist. Which tells a story, you might have heard it, king who sent an artist to paint a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Artist came back and painted a picture, and then he had his, whatever they're called, read the picture, you know, read his forehead and so on. And they said, he's a terribly wicked person. So the king was very upset. He figured the artist didn't do a good job. He went out to the desert and found Moshe Rabbeinu and saw that, in fact, it was a perfect picture. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, well, what's going on here? The people who read the furrows on your forehead, and they say you're a wicked person. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am a wicked person, and I worked on it. That's the so-called medrash, but there is no such medrash. So when this was published for the first time ever, or actually he's quoting another sefer that was published like in the 1820s. The first time this story was ever published anywhere in the 1800s. So there was a huge uproar about it, among others, Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin, great Rav of Brisk and other cities in Europe. Later, he was at the end of his life, he lived in Yerushalayim. And among other things, they brought the pasuk. The pasuk says explicitly, when he was born, Vatero Toki Tovu, his mother saw he was good. And as I'll say, the entire house filled up with light. Moshe Rabbeinu was born almost an angel, so to speak. So where did this story come from? So one theory is, I heard this from Professor Schneer Lyman, the father of Rabbi Lyman here at the yeshiva. He said that this sefer, in which it appears for the very first time, is a Hasidic sefer, and it's consistent with the teachings of Hasidus to try to turn everything bad into something good, and therefore this story shows how the most wicked person can become Moshe Rabbeinu and makes you feel very good. Where does the story actually come from? It actually can be traced back that it is a story told about Socrates. And somebody took out the word Socrates, put in the word Moshe, and turned it into a Jewish fable. There is absolutely No such medrash. In some editions of the Mishnayos, it's actually been in later printings of the Mishnayos, it's been censored out, but it's in the Tiferes Yisrael, in Mishnayos, at the end of Masechet Kiddushin, quoting, or Pnei Moshe. Anyway, that's all parenthetical. That is, but Rav Kook's point is that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was born good, he surely worked on himself to make himself even better, and therefore, even though he had this from the merit of his ancestors, but he's answered in his own merit. There is a medrash that sort of takes this discussion to a different level. So far we've said that a person who davens in the merit of others, relies on the merit of others, will be answered in his own merit. The person who relies on his own merit will be answered in the merit of others. The medrash in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Mem Aleph, that says, Mizmor le David, Hashem kraticha chushali. It says, a song to David, Hashem, call me, I have answered, answer me. Mahu chushali, what does it mean, answer me? Answer means answer me quickly. Chashti lasot vracha afata chushali. I hurried to do your word, now you hurry to answer me. David HaMelech was like someone who had a judgment in front of the king. He saw that everyone else there had people to speak in their defense. Called out to king. He says, I don't have anyone to speak for me. I don't have anyone to put in a good word for me. Atadeyan, you're the judge. Vatawa Senegor, you be my defense counsel. Kachamar David, Yeshu botecha masim na'im nechochim sheishlo. Some people rely on their good deeds. Yeshu botecha masim botav, and some rely on the good deeds of their fathers. Vani botech becha, I rely on you. Afish ein bi masim tovim. Even though I don't have good deeds, al shekarticha aneni, just because I called you, answer me. L'chach ne'mar, kiraticha Hashem. Therefore, it says, I have called to you, tikon tfilati. May my tfila be well established. So, Chaim Friedlander discusses this idea. Here, David HaMelech is saying, I have nothing. I don't have my own merits, and I don't have merits of my ancestors. So just answer me anyway. So he says, Chaim Friedlander says in Sifsei Chaim Midos Vavodas Hashem Chelek Bet. He says that. He says, I don't understand. We have this idea: a person's supposed to prepare. Like before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do extra mitzvos, or during a Seder Shuvah, we do extra mitzvos to prepare to have a schus for ourselves. Why is David HaMelech saying, I have no schus, just answer me anywhere, anyway? And the idea that he develops is that really is a combination of two discussions that he has. One is both under the heading Tefillah, one is section 7, and the other is section 22, Chafbet, that what we're really supposed to be doing when we're davening is to completely nullify, negate ourselves to Hashem, to recognize that we have no power at all. Not only for our physical needs, even for our spiritual needs, even the mitzvahs that we do, if not for Hashem's assistance, Hashem created Yetzer Hara, and a person could not overcome it at all unless he got a boost from Hashem. Why would Hashem do that? The answer is, the Yetzer Hara is just a little bit too strong for us, and Hashem has to give us a boost. Why Why do that? Why would Hashem do that? The answer is because Hashem is teaching us to completely nullify ourselves, to recognize the ultimate goal is to recognize how dependent we are on Hashem for everything. So we make good choices. It goes without saying, for our physical needs, we go to work, we try to do things, but we have to recognize that if not for Hashem, could, God forbid, lose our jobs any second, our companies could go, bankrupt, there are all these things that could happen, right? And we could always say the wrong thing at a meeting and, mess up the business, the deals, whatever our business is. We could design lousy buildings. Some of us did and therefore went to law school instead. Talk about me, not him. There's so many things that could go wrong, even though we think our lives are on track, right? That's in our physical existence, but even in our spiritual existence, there are so many things that could go wrong if not for Hashem's help. Interestingly, we talked way back about the idea of a person who has no dea, a person who has no, sort of explained it as common sense or different ways we explained it. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei say, Atachonein l'adam da'at, you are the one who gives man das. And then we ask Hashem to give us das. One of the Bali Musar, I think his name is Aaron Baxt, if I remember correctly who it was, he asked, why do we start out this bracha by saying, you are Hashem, or the one who gives a person das? He says, it's a recognition of how easily a person could say the wrong thing. We're saying to Hashem, you're the one who gives a person, I'm recognizing that you're the one who gives a person knowledge, who gives a person das, common sense, the ability to know and do the right thing. Because I recognize how many times I've been in a meeting or with my wife or my children or in whoever and said something really dumb. We do it all the time. And we have to recognize that it's a gift from Hashem that we actually ever say the right thing. So in any event, the correct way of davening is really, ideally, a person should get up and should just say, Hashem, just do whatever you want. That's not what we do. We have a whole Shemoneh Esrei, which is a whole catalog of things we're asking for, because we're not on such a high level that we can just get up and say, Hashem, do whatever you want. I don't even care, because I know you'll do everything right. So therefore, Hashem, so to speak, gives us permission to ask him for parnasa, ask him for health. But it has to be with the recognition that we actually have no merits. And even if we do have some merits, we're far from being what we should be. And anyway, we don't know what's best for us. Hashem knows what's best for us. And even if we think we know what's best for us, we don't have the ability to carry it out anyway. It's only Hashem who gives us the ability. And the purpose of Pesukei Dezimra, of all the praises of Hashem that we say before we start davening. Really, davening is Shemoneh Esrei. That's really what davening is. Everything before that is preparation leading up to Shemoneh Esrei. And if we learn the meaning of the words and take the time to reflect on Pesukei Dezimra and what we're actually saying, we would come to this recognition of our having nothing, of our having no ability to do anything, and it's all in the hands of Hashem. So when David says, I have no one to speak for me, that actually is the greatest sort of defense that a person has, the recognition that Hashem, it's all up to you. I'm totally dependent on you because I'm not going to bring my own few merits and hope to get answered in the merits of my ancestors, like Yitzi was suggesting. I'm not going to bring the merits of my ancestors. I'm going to come to you with the recognition that I have absolutely nothing. Why is it wrong for a person? I mean, we do mitzvos. We got up early in the morning, came to learn Torah. We do matzah chesed. Why is it wrong to mention our own merits? Because there's a concept of not inviting din on yourself, not asking Hashem to judge you. And if you say, look, Hashem, you know, I did this mitzvah, you should answer me because I did this mitzvah, Hashem's going to take out the books and see how well you really did that mitzvah. I davened a great Shemini Esrei today, so answer me. Well, let's see how great your Shemini Esrei was. And let's see how your Shemini Esrei was every other day, or whatever mitzvah it was that you did. Let's check it out. There's a Gemara later in Brachos, Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, I think, that says that there are three things that bring a person to be judged. One of them is walking next to a rickety wall. You put yourself in danger, you go bungee jumping. So Hashem's going to say, oh, let's see if this person deserves to get through this successfully. And another one is a person, after he davens, he looks back at his davening and he says, that was a good davening. Okay? Well, that's going to make Hashem, you know, I should be answered. That's going to make Hashem look at whether it was really a good davening and whether you really deserve to be answered. And so it's preferable not to invite Hashem to judge you I don't remember what the third thing was. If a person, on the other hand, davens in the merit of others, so he's not bringing that on himself, but it's still, according to this midrash, that's not the highest level. The highest level is to say, I have nothing, you know, I'm not even relying on the merits of my ancestors, I'm just relying on Hashem's kindness.
I actually had a question about that, so maybe it's just a Musa concept, but it's this idea that if somebody insults you, and you don't answer back, then it's sort of like cashing your chips. Ask for something that you really want to instruct.
There's a story that's told about the mother of Rav Yashiv that, see if I remember how it goes. She had no children. Rav Yashiv was an only child. She was married for a long time. She had no children. And there was some dispute with the lady next door about the laundry. And she held her tongue. She was in the right. Mrs. Elyashiv was in the right. And actually, her name wasn't Elyashiv. They changed their name. Her maiden name was Elyashiv. Eliasoff. Her maiden name was Eliasoff. And she and her husband changed their last name in order to travel to Israel on her father's visa. But that's a different story. So there's a dispute with this neighbor about the laundry in old-time Yerushalayim. And she held her, or maybe it was another woman. Anyway, somehow her holding her tongue resulted in her getting a bracha that she should have a child, and the child she has is Rav Yashiv. This is the story. Someone asked Rav Yashiv if it's a true story, and his response was, I was born in Lithuania. So he didn't deny, I was born in Lithuania. So he didn't deny that there was such a story involving, that his mother was involved in such an incident and got such a bracha to have this great child, but the way the story is told is that it happened in old-time Yerushalayim, and Rav Yashiv wasn't born in Yerushalayim. He was born in Lithuania.
Okay. Facts.
I had a similar experience. It's a famous story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, how he was sitting next to a famous non-religious person, and the person turned to him and said, why do your children, one of Rav Yaakov's descendants, I'm potentially being vague, you'll see why, was there and kept coming up to check on Rav Yaakov, and this guy turns and says, why do your descendants take such good care of you? My descendants don't even have time for me. And Rav Yaakov responded, your descendants believe your that much closer to the apes. My descendants believe I'm that much closer to the giving of the Torah. So I printed this story in my Parsha Sheet Hamayan. And somebody in Philadelphia told me, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky said it's not a true story. So I went to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Actually, he was in Silver Spring. I went over to him. And I said, your brother wrote this story. Why do you say it's not a true story? He said, because you said it was on a train and it was actually on an airplane. So it's not a true story. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was known for the midah of emes, sticking to truth. And I was so impressed how his son inherited this midah, because he said it's not a true story just because I said it was on a train and it was actually on an airplane. So a few weeks later, I saw Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's son-in-law, Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva Ner Yisrael, and I told him this story about my experience with Rav Shmuel, and he said, it's still not a true story. I said, well, why not? He said, because you said it was his grandson, and it was actually his son Avram, Yaakov's son. So, still not true, because you said it was his grandson, and it was actually his son. So, you see how when you tell Gdolim stories, if you don't stick exactly to the story, it's not a true story. So, same with Rav Yashiv, he could deny the story, because the story takes place in Yerushalayim, and he was born in Lithuania. Gemara says, Pasuk says, you know, that Rivka was barren, and Yitzchak and Rivka davened, and says, Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. Yitzchak davened opposite his wife, Vayetar lo, and Hashem answered Yitzchak. And Gemara says, and Rashi quotes Gemara, I think, that the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik is greater than the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha. Yitzchak was a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, and his tefillah was accepted more than tefillah of Rivka, who was a tzaddikess, the daughter of a rasha. And many commentaries are bothered by this. This is counterintuitive. You would think, right, we say Bali Tshuva are greater than tzaddikim, so Rivka's tefillah should have been accepted more than Yitzchak's tefillah. So Friedlander says, if we understand that the ultimate goal of tefillah is to totally negate ourselves, to say, I have no merits, my ancestors have no merits, just answer me because you are the great and merciful God, then we can understand why the tefillah of a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, is greater than the tefillah of a tzaddik, the son of a rasha. Because a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, has a harder time getting down to zero. If you're supposed to daven with the attitude that you have zero merits, the tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, has a longer way to go to get there, a harder work. The tzaddik, the son of a rasha, already comes to davening with great humility, whereas a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, could come with a little bit of haughtiness. And that's why the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik is greater. Just as sort of a little bit of an aside, there's a commentary on Masachet Brachos. People call it the Smichas Chachamim. The Sefer is actually called Kedusha Obracha, the introduction to the Sefer, which is itself a book-length introduction, is called the Smichas Chachamim. The author is known as the Baal Smichas Chachamim, Rav Naftali Katz. People often ask me if I'm a descendant of his, and the answer is, in the town where my grandparents came from, there were two Katz families. The other one were descendants of the Baal Smichas Chachamim. As far as I can tell, we were just peasants. But in any event, he asks a question on this Gemara, about Chizkia. Why is he criticized for not davening his Chus Avos? Gemara in Shabbos says that in Chizkia's time, Chus Avos was used up. The merits of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov were used up, were finished. Now, does that mean they're finished forever? Does that mean that generation used up its quota, but we have Chus Avos? That's a different discussion. But the Gemara makes a statement that Chus Avos was used up in Chizkia's time. So then why should Chizkia daven in Chus Avos? So he explains that there are two different kinds of Chus Avos. The Gemara is saying that generation used up the merit of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That was finished. Again, does that mean that we don't have any, or does that mean that, you know, it replenishes every generation? That's a different discussion. But there's another kind of Chus Avos. We all have fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, and you know, go back 8 generations, go back 10 generations, Chizkia could go back to David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, and he could daven in their merit. It's not just Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov in person. So Schos Avos has that double meaning. It means Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. It also means any of our good ancestors who did great things. Our ancestors who were simple people in Europe, worked hard and did mitzvos to the best of their ability. They also have merits. And so that's another merit in which to daven. So Hashem, we should improve our davening based on these concepts, and our tefillah should be answered. And have a good day.